God's grace, mercy, peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. Amen. Okay, so over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our earthly country, these United States of America, and our duty as Christians to our earthly country. And we've talked about how God calls us in His Word as His people to seek the good of our country. That's Jeremiah 29. To pray for those in authority over us, that's 1 Timothy 2. To pay our taxes and give them honor, Romans 13. To do good everywhere we can with good deeds as salt and light, Matthew 5. And to call our country to faith in Jesus Christ, to put its trust in God alone for our help, present and future. Remember last week we said we're not to make a declaration of independence from God, that's defeat, but a declaration of dependence upon God as a country, that's victory. So we've talked about our earthly country, but this week I'd like to talk with you about our duty as Christians to our heavenly country. And in particular, talk with you about two kingdoms that are in the world today. How many kingdoms really are there? How many countries? If you ask the United Nations, they say 195, if you include the Vatican and Palestine. But how many ultimately are there? There are ultimately, in the greater reality, in the greater truth, there are only two kingdoms in the world today. What are they? What do you think? The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil. And so let's talk about these two kingdoms today so that we can get our minds. You know, we need to focus on America to some degree, yes, and that's okay to do. But we need to really focus and get our minds on the right thing, the real battle, which is the kingdom of Christ versus the kingdom of the devil, and understand how those two kingdoms interact, what their characteristics are, how the two kings interact with one another, Jesus versus Satan, and to know what our duty is to our real country, which is the heavenly one, the kingdom of Christ. So let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us by His Word. First of all, are there really two countries or two kingdoms in the world? Just two? So I said a moment ago, you got the United Nations, and I mean, you could look it up. You got 195 countries supposedly in the world, and that's true to the eyes of the flesh. But to the eyes of the Spirit, the spiritual eyes, the truth, the higher reality, the greater plane, spiritual realms, only two. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil or Satan. Why are there two kingdoms? Because frankly, there's only two kings. Jesus is a king and Satan is a king. Is that true? Well, let's take a look. Jesus is the rightful king of the world. Let's just refresh ourselves. We already know this, but we always rejoice in this, don't we? Matthew 2, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him." So Jesus is the king of the Jews, frankly, the king of the world. Remember Nathanael when he first met Jesus, and Jesus says, "An Israelite in whom is no guile, Nathanael." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Acknowledges him as the royal king from God. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate? Pilate's like, "So you are a king?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world. If it were of this world, my servant would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world." So he is a king. We know in Revelation 19, it says, "He is clad in a robe dipped in blood. The name by which he's called is the Word of God. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Do you acknowledge Jesus as your king? He is the rightful king of this world. Kind of like King Richard in England in the days of Robin Hood. He's the rightful king, though absent, if you will. Evil Prince John, though, was on the throne in the days of Robin Hood, exalting himself as king as well. So is the devil, is Satan, the evil one, also a king according to the Bible? Well, let's open up and see what Jesus says about it, and you can even listen to the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is casting out devils, right? And they're realizing the kingdom of God is coming, and the Pharisees said it's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that he does this. So they call him the prince, right? Beelzebul is the prince of demons, that's the devil, according to the Pharisees. Does Jesus agree? Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself can stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, his house is divided, how then will his kingdom stand? Does Jesus acknowledge, therefore, that Satan has a kingdom? He certainly does. He acknowledges, yeah, you're right, he is the prince of darkness. So the devil's a king too. A usurper king, an upstart king, not the real king, not God in the flesh. The world doesn't belong to him, but he is a king. A great red dragon, says Revelation 12, with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems upon his heads. A diadem means a crown, so he has 7 crowns. This dragon does upon his head. That means a crown is symbolic of authority, dominion, and might to rule. He has got 7 of them. Jesus in John 12 and 14 says he's the ruler of this world, the present world. Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. And we also know in 1 John 5, we know that we are of God, says Apostle John, and the whole world is in the power, the exousia in the Greek, the dominion, the might of the evil one. So is there another king at large in the world today, an evil prince? And he has a kingdom too. So, yeah, we can think about America and China and Iran and Russia and all these other things, but really, it's about 2 kingdoms if we see it in truth. There's the kingdom of Christ in the world and the kingdom of the evil one. There's only 2. So how do Jesus and Satan get along? How do these 2 kingdoms interact with each other? Well, the answer is very simple. It's war, and it's all out war. Jesus has his angel armies, so does Satan, his fallen angel armies called demons. And they're all at war. The dragon seeks to destroy Christ. Christ comes to destroy the dragon. Now let's make sure we understand, this is not an even fight, by the way. It's not like yin and yang, you know, Jesus got 50% and Satan 50. Jesus has 100% power. The devil only has what Jesus leases to him for a time during this present age. So it's not, there's no match here, but it's a fierce and dreadful fight and war even so. And is it on earth today? Do you see evidence of this? Well, look at any countries trying to get along. There's war. Look at families and marriages and all the devastation, the battle, the strife, the killings, the murders, the lies, the thievery, everything that's in the world. This is because there's a clashing of 2 great kingdoms in the unseen spiritual realms. But over what are these 2 kingdoms fighting? Is it just land? Is it like physical territory? No. They are fighting, watch this, for rule over the hearts of men. That's what they're really after. That's what a kingdom is, especially in the Bible. It's about a dominion, a reign, a rule over the souls of human beings into whose charge God originally gave the earth. Are you guys kings as well? Well, according to Genesis, God made us in his own image, after his likeness, and he said, let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, etc. So, to you has been given the right to rule over the world. Now, when God ruled in the hearts of Adam and Eve, God's kingdom, you could say, was on the earth in those days. Amen? Because if God is ruling, then it's light, love, freedom, peace, and truth. And that was, the kingdom of God was on earth because Adam and Eve ruled and God was on the throne of Adam and Eve's heart. And what a wonderful world that would have been, right? Didn't last long, though, because Adam and Eve, our first ancestors, listened to, rather, the voice of the evil one, followed the devil into disobedience, to commit rebellion and traitorous acts against God by eating of the forbidden fruit. When they did, what happened? the kingdom of the world became the kingdom of the devil, because now the devil was on the throne of their hearts and they had an evil nature like their king. In fact, Jesus looked down on the earth not too long after, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the kingdom of the world was originally the kingdom of God, Christ. When man sinned, it became the kingdom of the devil, and he has might and rule and power on the earth today to rule. He's not a real God. He's a pretend God. He's an upstart. He's a usurper king, a fallen angelic creature, a traitor, a rebel, an evil prince, tried to take God's position in heaven. Remember that when he led a third of the angels into rebellion against God, tried to take over God's throne. How'd that go for him? He failed miserably, was cast down, but he's come down to the earth with great wrath because he knows his time is short to wreak what havoc he can down here, says Revelation 12. So the devil set up his kingdom, watch this, in the hearts of men. And most of the world today is still ruled by him. Most of humanity is still under his sway, power, and dominion. The sons of the evil one, that's most of the world. So what's that kingdom look like, by the way? What's the devil's house like? What kind of a kingdom does he run? Well, let me open up and read Martin Luther on this one. I like how he's very colorful. Christ, says Luther, calls the devil the prince of this world. And he says he's a murderer from the beginning and a liar. If you Christians then must live upon the earth, we got to realize we're guests and we lodge in an inn, the devil's inn, with a knave as our host and with an inscription or a sign over his door which reads, "The house of murder and the house of lies." Isn't that true? For such a sign or coat of arms, Christ himself has hung upon his door and over his house when he called the devil a murderer and a liar. A murderer for killing the body, a liar for misleading the soul and killing that one too. That's the devil's trade and work. That's the way he keeps his house. That is his business, how it's carried on in his inn. And we can't do anything about it. Whoever belongs to his followers must lend him a helping hand. But whoever is his guest, Christians who don't belong to his kingdom, must expect and risk experiencing rough treatment at his hand. Isn't that true? Look at the world. It is a house of murder and a house of lies, isn't it? Falsehood, deceit abound. There is pride. There's self-exaltation in the world. There is power grabbing. There is adultery and sexual sin. There is avarice, brutality, blasphemies, raging against Christ. And there's deceit, division, strife, harm, mistreatment, and in a word, murder. It's the kingdom of death is the devil's. Think about that. He kills little babies by abortion. He kills marriages by adultery. He kills friendships by people holding grudges and not forgiving each other. He divides them and destroys those. He kills countries by stirring up hatred between each other, vying over the world's resources and things like that. And he's constantly working wickedness. That's what his kingdom is all about. And when it comes to Jesus and Christ's kingdom, he wants to make sure that nobody gets saved. He wants to destroy their souls. So he'll disparage Christ, mock him, call him evil, and set himself up as an angel of light. And he'll try to keep people from Christ that way if he can. And if he can't do it that way, if people are actually interested in being saved and they go to church, then he sends upon them his own servants, his ministers of false gospels, whispering and breathing out lies, counterfeit truths to destroy again souls eternally. So Martin Luther said, you got to watch out. He sometimes comes like the black devil, namely like a monster that he is, evil. Sometimes he comes appearing the white devil, so to speak, in Christian garb, wearing a lamb's wool coat, dressing up to appear righteous with the luster of an angel of light. But beware, behind all that mask is still the same evil prince bent on murder, for he is there to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And to him has been given the power and dominion over all the earth on account of sin. Remember, the devil took Jesus to the high mountain, remember that? Look at all these kingdoms, Jesus. Look at all these glories of these far-off lands. I'll give them all to you, for they've all been given to me. And I give it to whom I will. I'll give it to all you all, Jesus, if you'll but worship me, said the dragon, seeking to secure his kingdom forever. But Jesus, knowing the devil's schemes, said, get behind me, Satan, and be gone. For it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So the devil accuses men of crimes before God and kills them because before Jesus came and there was no Savior, he had might and rule and the power and the authority from God to do so and to rule and to destroy on account of sin before the Savior came. So what about Jesus, though? What about his kingdom? What's that like? Let's read the Bible here. 1 John 3, verse 8. We read this. It says, the reason, says the Apostle John, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the evil one. To wage war. To bring to nothing that devil's dominion of darkness and to utterly destroy it. To bring God's kingdom back where? Into the hearts of men. And then ultimately to the earth. So when Christ came, that was an invasion, friends, into demonic territory, enemy-occupied lands. And how did Jesus come to set the world free and wage war against the dominion of darkness? Visibly, take out a physical blade of steel and take over territory and lands through physical weapons. Not by might, says the scriptures, not by power, but by my spirit, says, see, there's more of the devil's country right out there. You got sirens going by outside the church. God have mercy. But he came to set men's hearts free by what? The preaching of the truth. The word of God, the sword of the spirit. This is the only weapon that can destroy the devil's kingdom, the truth of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He came to set men free, to bring them back to the truth of God, to love, to rescue, to salvation, to life in his kingdom. So if Jesus comes to bring God's kingdom to earth, by the preaching of the word, to set himself up as king again on the thrones of men, how does that look in the world? Is it an outward show of armies, tanks, and planes, and boats? Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus said and answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, lo, here or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is, what's it? What is it? In the midst of you. The word in the Greek is entos, which means in the midst of you or within you. How does the kingdom of God come into the world? And how is this war being waged today? Imperceptibly, in unseen realms, in the hearts of men, but powerful beyond imagination, even so. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it becomes the greatest of all shrubs. So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. It grows up imperceptibly. In the midst of the devil's dominion of darkness, the word is preached, and look, here's one who hears the word, and he becomes a son of light. Over here, there's two or three who hear the word, and they begin to shine. And then in another place, 10, in another place, 1,000. So in the realm of darkness, there's little lights popping up all over the place. That's Jesus' kingdom. Until the light fills the world. It comes secretly, an invasion into the hearts of men so that people hear the truth, repent of their sins, abhor the devil's chains, hate their old evil prince, call on Christ for salvation, be my king, O Jesus. I want you on the throne of my heart And when people come to Christ, they go from the dominion of darkness and they're transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus. And they are saved and they enter Jesus' kingdom. So the kingdom of God comes in the midst of the world of darkness, people being saved out of it, and it's within you. Like the word is being preached right now, and the kingdom is hopefully growing in your hearts and multiplied even as we speak in your heart. For this I was born, Jesus says. For this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. When Pilate asked whether he was the king, and the truth will make you free, he told the Jews. And he commanded the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then again to Paul, Jesus said, I send you, Paul, far away to the Gentiles. Watch this, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. So since those days, the good news of the kingdom of God has been proclaimed in the world, in the earth. Amen? And God's kingdom is coming, and it is here already. And we go from the house of murder and the house of lies into the house where Jesus is the head of our on the throne of our hearts, where we find life, freedom of the truth, and salvation. Praise God. But all of this would still be of no effect if it were but words only, as powerful as that is, but it had to be backed up by action on Christ's part. Because remember, the devil had dominion over everybody because everybody sins, and they were sold, we were all sold into our sins and into death and into the power of the devil because of our crimes against God. So there had to be a payment, an action by Christ the King to buy us back to God, so that the devil no longer has right to rule over us. Jesus, going to the cross, said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Isn't that great? He's going to pay the purchase price, which he did on the cross. With his own shed blood, the king died for his country to set us free. Since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus partook of the same nature that we have, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Hooray! Say hooray.
Hooray.
Say praise the King.
Praise the King.
I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. What's the devil still try to do with you? Accuse you. Oh, you think you're a Christian, but you've done this wrong and that wrong and this. See. Prosecuting attorney. Jesus, on our side, says, nope, all paid for by me. They're free. Don't bother them or hound them anymore, devil. And we say, be gone, for Christ has set me free. Christ, friends, disarmed, says the Bible. Disarmed, took away the weapons from the principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them through his cross. Having delivered us from the dominion of darkness, he's positioned us, repositioned us into his own kingdom, in whom we have redemption, watch, the forgiveness of your sins. The king is atone for them and set you free from all your crimes and wrongs. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he's made us a kingdom, says the Bible. Priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, the kingdom of God comes invisibly, imperceptibly, in your midst, invading the world, filling it with light. We see that on the earth today. But just know this, it's not forever invisible. Christ is coming again. The high priest railed against Jesus at his trial and charged him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus answered, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He's coming visibly, friends, to forcibly bring in his kingdom on the last day. For I saw seven heaven opened, and a white horse. He who sat upon it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war, says Revelation 19. The armies of heaven, the angels, followed him on white horses, white and pure and fine linen. And the beast, the dragon, Satan, the prince of darkness, with his antichrist beasts and all of his wicked hosts of angelic armies and all wicked men make war upon the Lamb, says Revelation 17, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful, his loyal, true subjects. And then the king will say to you on that day, those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, look and see, behold, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's coming visibly to the earth very soon. So, in conclusion then today, you know, as Americans and American Christians, we tend to focus a lot on America. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. That's fine to do to some degree. But let's never forget the real battle is between these two kingdoms, Christ's and the devil's, and that you are called to be Christ's own kingdom and to wage the good warfare shoulder to shoulder, side by side with him. And you are headed to victory, for your king himself goes before you. Revelation 11, we'll conclude with this, verse 15. I heard a loud voice from heaven, and this is coming soon. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign on earth, and his people shall reign on earth with him. In Jesus' name, amen.